Hi guys, welcome back to Life's Fertile Questions. Today we had the honor of getting to interview one of our new friends, Amber, and she has a really inspiring tale about her journey through infertility and, you know, some exciting, hopeful beginning to a new chapter. So, yeah, let's get started. We were kind of wondering where you found us. Was it on Instagram or were you searching like podcasts or?
I found you guys through searching podcasts. So I have been specifically interested in listening to different just fertility based podcasts. And so that's how I found you guys.
Oh, that's cool. So awesome. Thinking that we're probably way, way, way back in the recesses of the podcasting search bar. So that's awesome.
Yeah, no, and I was really glad to find it. There are a lot of different podcasts I listen to, and a lot of them are, you know, like super established. It's actually really cool to kind of catch one that's just starting and getting going. I've really enjoyed listening to the episodes that I've been able to.
Aw, thank you so much. We appreciate that.
We have a lot of growth, though, still.
Yeah, but I that's the thing is I really wanted to commend you guys, though, for sharing about your journey while you're in it. I did not start opening up and sharing my fertility story until I had already kind of gotten through most of it, or kind of, I won't say overcome it, because, you know, infertility isn't something that ever really like goes away or is cured or is not a worry anymore. So it's really amazing to hear you guys share while you're still in the middle of it, because I was not able to do that.
Oh, well, thanks. I think I found it to be very therapeutic, to be honest. It's been really nice to just have some place where we could just say what we're feeling and get it out into the world, because bottling it up kind of just really sucks.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. And there's healing in sharing your story. And there's a healing too in like hearing other people's stories. So I know that you guys are helping others who are listening.
Yes, that is one of our main goals in this whole thing, is helping people share their stories. So we were kind of wondering if you could briefly describe for our visitors a little bit about you, where you're from, what's your story?
Yeah, absolutely. So hi, everybody. I'm Amber. I am from Northern Michigan. I'm referred to as a Youper because I'm from the UP, which is the Upper Peninsula. I have lived up here my whole life, just kind of moved across the state to go to college, which is where I met my husband, ended up settling in Sault Ste. Marie, which is where we live now, where he's from originally and where I went to school. And we kind of like to laugh about it. Like, we just knew when we met. Like, I'm pretty sure it was about 10 days after we started dating, he told me that he loved me. So it was like, it was quick. We just knew we were each other's person, which is awesome. And so, you know, we started dating while I was in college and started, you know, planning everything out. So we got married about a year after I graduated college. And we knew we wanted to have kids. Like, that just wasn't even a question. Both of us wanted to have kids, but we weren't in a huge rush. I mean, we were still pretty young. I was 22 when we got married. And so we just kind of, when we got married, we were like, well, you know, we want to have kids, but we're not in a big rush. So we're not going to like really focus on trying, but we're not going to prevent it from happening. So we just kind of said, you know, we're not doing any kind of birth control. We're just going to, you know, see where life takes us. Right. So it was about 8 months after we got married that I got pregnant for the first time. And we were so excited. Like, it was just, we were so excited. We were so happy that you know, we were going to have a baby. It was going to start our family. And I went in for my first appointment at around like 10 or 11 weeks along was when they wanted to see me. And when I went in, there was no heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And it really caught us by surprise. I feel like you kind of know, like, you know, most people say, well, you don't announce that you're pregnant until 12 weeks along. Mm-hmm. I never like made that connection of it's because you could have a miscarriage, right? Like in my head, it was just, this is just something that you do. You just don't announce until that point, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, like it wasn't confirmed in my first appointment. So, you know, in the first appointment, they said, you know, there's no heartbeat, but then they kind of do the whole, well, are you absolutely sure of your dates? And, you know, did you actually track everything? And, you know, all those questions. And so it actually took, you know, some extra appointments and blood draws and everything to diagnose me. It was a missed miscarriage. So basically baby just stopped developing at around 6 weeks along, but my body never really recognized it. It was still thinking that it was pregnant. And so it was a pretty traumatic experience. I ended up taking medication to complete the miscarriage. And we really fell into a pretty deep depression when that happened. You know, I kind of refer to these years of our life as kind of like survival mode we were in. Mm-hmm. And so for a long time, we just emotionally were not ready to try again. And, you know, it was basically a situation where they're like, you know, a lot of women have one miscarriage and go on to have healthy pregnancies. You can get pregnant, which is a good thing. You know, like it was just kind of all those reassurances of, you know, we'll just keep trying. Everything should be fine. You know, next time around we'll be different. And so, you know, it took us a long time to feel emotionally ready. And so it was about 2 years between my first pregnancy and my second. Mm-hmm. And I was still really excited with the second pregnancy. I was kind of like, you know what, this is it. You know, it's going to be good. The doctor said that I was, you know, kind of bad luck the last time around. My husband was a little less excited. Our first loss left a really big impression on him. And so he, I think, almost didn't even want to accept that I was pregnant until we actually got to that appointment and saw the heartbeat and everything was confirmed. But it was still, they didn't want to see me until like 10 or 11 weeks along in the second pregnancy, because there was no indication that anything should be wrong or whatever. Mm-hmm. But as I got closer to that appointment, I started to get this really crazy, overwhelming sense of deja vu. My appointment was in the month of April, which is what my first pregnancy, it was in the same month, same time of year. Like it was just really, I swear I was in the same exam room. Like it was a really just unnerving sense of deja vu. And when I went in for that second appointment, it was the same exact thing. There was no heartbeat. It was just, and it was devastating. It was just so hard to go in and have them just say, you know, same exact thing. Baby only developed to 6 weeks and then stopped. And the only kind of saving grace in that appointment was that the doctor said, okay, you know, you've had two losses in a row. And I hate to say that I'm lucky, because some doctors will require you to have three losses before they investigate or check into it. And in my doctor, it was after two. She said, okay, you know, this isn't normal. Let's do some blood work. Let's do some testing and see if we can figure out, you know, what may be going on. So did a full blood work panel and got all of those results back. And that's when I found out that I have thyroid disease. So I have Hashimoto's thyroid, and I also have the MTHFR mutation. It's an enzyme mutation where my body can't break down folic acid. So it was important. I had to switch my prenatal to one that had methylfolate in it so my body could actually use it. And so at that point, it was kind of like, okay, there's hope. Like there's a reason. And my thyroid numbers were like off the charts. Like it was really crazy how bad my thyroid was. And so I kind of felt like I felt more in control at that point of, okay, there's a reason. We have a plan. I'm going to start seeing, a specialist for my thyroid. We're going to get that taken care of. And I was actually really impatient at that point to try again. But the endocrinologist I was seeing wanted us to wait until we could get my thyroid back into a normal range, which takes a while. Like, it was kind of crazy to me how long it takes because they actually have to start you on a really low dose and then just gradually up it. So it was about 7 months between my second pregnancy and my third. And my endocrinologist, I think, was actually a little bit annoyed with us. He wanted us to wait a little bit longer than that, but I was just like, you know what? Like we're I'm in the normal range now. Like it's just time. And the other advantage, and it's terrible, like I hate to use it as like I'm lucky or advantages or whatever, but things just kind of change as you develop this medical history, right? So I got to go in for an early ultrasound. So I got to go in at around, I think it was about 6 weeks, is when I got in on that pregnancy. And that ultrasound, it's just every time you go in and you get an ultrasound and then they're just like silent as they're doing the ultrasound, you just know that there's something that's off. And this time around, I had what they called, she called it a blighted ovum. There might be other terms for it that doctors call it. But essentially, like the egg just never developed into an embryo. So there's a gestational sac, but there's just no baby inside of it because they never grew. And in that appointment, the doctor said, this is actually what most women experience if they have a single miscarriage and then go on to have normal pregnancies. She said, this really is the bad luck. This really is the fluke. This really is the one that we just don't know why it happened. Like you were doing everything right. We don't, we just don't know why. And that was hard. So, by this point I've had, I've struck out three times. And we really were struggling a lot, just emotionally, mentally through all of those years. And we were still just left with a try again, keep trying. You can get pregnant, you're managing your health. And so we still were trying in the sense that we weren't preventing getting pregnant. But I was almost more trying to escape from thinking about being pregnant and all of that at that point. And so I think between pregnancy three and four, I think it was about 9 months, between those two pregnancies. And by this point, we almost didn't even dare to hope that everything was going to be okay because, for us at that point, a positive pregnancy test really didn't mean anything. And so, I had the positive test and I called and they set up my initial appointment, my first appointment, which was going to be at around 7 weeks. That was the earliest they could get me in. And I was so anxious to go in and be seen early. And by that point, we were doing a lot of emotional spending. And at that point, I'm even a little ashamed to admit how much credit card debt we had started to rack up because we were trying to escape. Would drive out of town to go to the movies or, a weekend away or just to go out and go shopping, just kind of anything that got us out and away from our lives and what was going on. And so, that weekend before my appointment, I was feeling a lot of that anxiety, that anticipation. And so we had taken a drive for the day just to go drive somewhere to like eat or shop or whatever. And it was another situation where I felt like something was off. So on the drive home, I was just like out of nowhere picking a fight with my husband. Like I was just over nothing. Like there was nothing to fight about, but I was picking this fight. And, we're about halfway home and I started cramping. And I told him, you know, like, okay, I don't feel good. I'm cramping. We just need to go home and I need to lie down because I don't know. You know, I just don't feel good. And the closer we got to home, the more I realized, like, this is getting worse. We just need to go right to the ER and see what's going on because this is not normal. Like, this is getting really painful. And by that point, I mean, of course, and I think you guys know this, like, the further you get into that fertility journey, the more you Google.
Yes.
Yes.
And the more you learn about, like, all of the possibilities. And so just walking into, like, the ER to get checked in, I knew that I was exhibiting, like, all the symptoms of an ectopic pregnancy, which was scary because I had read a lot of stories about women who had had really bad outcomes with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where I'm at in Michigan, it's definitely a small area. So the city I'm in is like a city of like maybe 14,000. We have a hospital, but it's definitely on the smaller side. So when I went in on the weekend, I actually had to wait like, I don't know how long it was, almost an hour for their ultrasound tech that was on call to come in and actually come into the hospital.
Wow.
And so they took me in, they did a full ultrasound. And again, I was lucky, if you want to use that word, that it was not an ectopic pregnancy, but it was a chemical pregnancy. So I was having miscarriage number 4. And I remember at that point, you know, of course, because they have my chart and it's the same hospital I've been seeing, you know, for my entire journey. And it just, I really remember it sticking out to me that the ER nurse, you know, as they were discharging me, she pretty much looked at me and said, you know, well, you've been through this before, you know what to expect. Oh. And that was kind of my send off to go home and, you know, finish miscarrying. Wow. And so I was in a really bad place at that point. I mentally, emotionally, like it was just, it was not good. And I kind of wallowed in it. Like I was kind of overtaken by it at that point of this just thought in my head of I can't ever have a baby. I'm not ever going to have a baby. This just isn't going to work. And I let that thought kind of overtake me for probably about 6 months before I really actually faced it. And I considered, you know, what if I can't have a baby? Like, instead of just kind of like beating myself over the head with it, that I'm never going to have a baby and this is terrible, I kind of thought about, you know, what if I can't have a baby? Like, what is my life going to look like if that's the case? And it just hit me like a ton of bricks at that point, how much I had neglected my marriage, that I had neglected a lot of the relationships that I had neglected my faith. I had neglected my physical health in every sense, except trying to force my body to get pregnant and stay pregnant. My mental health, like just all of it, my finances, all of it had gotten just so badly neglected in those years where I was just completely focused on having a baby. And I decided it was time to make a change. It was time to focus on all of those things again. And just sort of let go of having a baby. And that was when I finally kind of figured out what I wanted to be when I grew up. So I had gone to school for accounting and decided to not get my CPA just because, like, the lifestyle for a CPA was not what I wanted. It was either, like, really crazy hours during tax season or traveling to do auditing, and just none of it felt right. And so, you know, in this decision to kind of, you know, figure out what the rest of my life was going to be, I discovered the world of financial coaching, which is what I have a business now, and I'm working on that business now. And, you know, that kind of became like my new baby, right? Like I was going to, mm-hmm. you know, start the side business and I was going to start helping people with their money. And it was just like, it really kind of filled a hole in my heart that I needed to kind of bring me alive again. And so I started this academy to start up my business and all of that. And 2 months in of that, I got pregnant again. And it really caught me by surprise. And I have to admit that I was even a little bit mad because I had a new baby. Like I had this business, and now all of a sudden I was kind of faced with, well, either this is going to work out and I'm going to have a baby and it's going to change everything, or this is going to be another loss. And can I handle that again? You know, am I mentally capable of handling that again? And so there was a lot of anxiety, just a lot of anxiety. And we got to go in early again for an appointment around 6 or 7 weeks, and seeing a heartbeat on an ultrasound for the first time when you've never seen that before in a pregnancy was the most miraculous moment of my life up to that point. Like, it was just, we were almost a little bit in disbelief to finally see that and see our baby and see that they were alive and well. And, you know, and that's when the reality kind of sunk in of like, we're going to have a baby, you know, like this is it. And, but the anxiety never really left me, like, throughout my pregnancy. You know, I still always had that nagging feeling of like, this could end at any point. And I actually ended up seeing a counselor in my third trimester. Like the anxiety really got the better of me after a while. So, I saw somebody for it, and that really helped. So I'm really happy to say that my daughter, Wendy, was born January 3rd, 2020. Mm-hmm. She was actually the new year baby at our hospital, new decade baby at our hospital, which was kind of cool. Yeah, and so she is now 16, just over 16 months, very active, happy, healthy toddler. She actually ended up being a C-section. So it's, you know, they recommend taking a fair amount of time to heal from that. But now that she's over a year, we are now kind of starting that journey of trying to conceive again. So I'm kind of stepping back into that world of kind of the unknown a little bit. And hopeful that, you know, we'll be able to conceive a sibling for her sometime this year yet.
Aww.
So that's kind of me. That's my story up to this point.
Well, it's been a long journey, and I wish that infertility just ended when you had a kid, but it really just doesn't. Like, I just feel like it never really ends, and there's always that thought in the back of your mind, but
Yeah.
So my son was actually born, it sounds like, 7 days before your daughter. So that, I mean, I can totally relate to this, and it makes my heart so happy. So.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't realize they were so close.
I didn't either, but yeah, that's something else. But I have so much respect for you. I tell my husband, going, you know, this time around trying for a kid, that we didn't personally have any miscarriages, but we tried 2.5 years just to, you know, even get pregnant. But I don't think I could do that. And so I have so much respect for anyone who has to go through that emotionally. So hats off to you.
You know, though, the more I share my story, the more I talk with other people about, you know, their journeys and their experiences, like, it's all hard. Like, it's all hard. Yeah. We all just have to deal with our own flavor of what the hard is on this journey, you know?
Yeah, that is very true. It's crazy to me how we can all have so many different stories, but at the same time, we all kind of can just feel those emotions, like, the same emotions. Like, you're telling your story and you're talking about all these disappointments and hearing all this news, and like, the same time, my heart is just like, I get that. I've felt that every time I've gotten a negative on a pregnancy test, or every time I've thought I was pregnant and I wasn't, you know, that same feeling of like, just despair and not knowing what to do. And you're talking about how you did other things to try to distract yourself, and I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to me that we all have different stories, but we all have that common thread of like the feelings are all the same. They're all there,
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, it is.
So on a happier note, your Instagram, we were scrolling through it and it's really cool. So what's the premise of, you said you were a financial advisor?
So financial coach,
Oh,
it's actually a
coach.
little different from an advisor. So financial advisors are primarily, they help with investments and sort of retirement planning, kind of long-term things. Where a financial coach is actually somebody that you would work with to help, create like a debt payoff plan or create a budget or a plan around your money, to help kind of improve your relationship with your money and your money mindset. So a lot of the issues, so I would help people with a lot of the issues, that I've worked through, like that emotional spending piece and, maybe not knowing where all of your money is going. Especially for women who maybe are facing, IVF costs that they weren't anticipating it, kind of trying to shift gears and figure out how they're going to, afford that, is definitely something I can help with. One of the things that I put together, because I think it's just so needed and people don't realize, and what kind of made me think of it was, I was listening to Alyssa's episode where she was kind of giving an update on where she was at and, shared how adoption was something that they were thinking about and considering. And I think a lot of people out there just don't know that there are actually a lot of grants that can help with the cost of adoption or with the cost of fertility treatments. I have not done as much research into the adoption side of things. I actually know another financial coach who is focused around adoption because that's been her story and that she helps parents with that. So, I can definitely connect people with that person if they want more on the adoption. But I had put together a list of grants specifically around fertility treatments. So for the most part, to support in the cost of IVF, there were a few in there for medication, and there were a couple of grants in there that centered around adoption, because I kind of wanted to put that out there and so people knew that that was a possibility for them too. So if anybody is interested, you can find that a link to that on my Instagram. There's 59 different grants and programs in that list. And it kind of breaks it down. It gives you the organization, what the base eligibility requirements are, if there's an application fee, and how much they typically award. And then a link that you can get to like their website or application or whatever for those particular grants. So people can find that I'm at Abundance Financial Coaching, on Instagram. You can catch that there.
I think that's so cool because no matter where you are, whether you're starting or if you're, 4 years into this infertility, there's, grants, and I didn't know that was a thing. So that's definitely something I would check out.
Yeah, and I think that's the main thing is, so many of us on this journey, like we sort of suffer in silence. I definitely did. There's so many things that I've learned after the fact as I have, spoken up more and talked to more people. So it's just nice to kind of have this chance to come on and share that information so people know like there's help out there. And most of these organizations stemmed from people who went through it themselves and want to help others. And it's funny, some of them are very specific, like some of them are very specifically for like Jewish couples in a particular county in Florida.
Interesting.
But there's also some that are just like kind of nationwide that are, much more open to everybody. So it's worth looking into. If you might qualify, it's worth looking into.
That's so amazing that you put that list together. That's super awesome. And we'll definitely be linking all of these links on the show notes page, so that it's easy for you guys to find. And yeah, that's amazing. Thank you so much too for reaching out to us and being willing to share your story. I really think that getting all the different stories out there just will just help more women and not feel alone. We follow many, many people on our Instagram, and there's so many women out there that have the same similar story to you with the multiple miscarriages. And I just really think that it's awesome that you were willing to come on here and tell your story, and it's super inspiring. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you guys for the chance to come on. And yeah, there's power in sharing that information. And, you know, if people are listening and they want to ask me any questions, at this point, I consider myself sort of an open book when it comes to my fertility journey. So, you know, if somebody had some question about, like, you know, my thyroid disease or, you know, anything else that I've done or gone through, I am more than happy. Please reach out.
And was there anything you wanted to tell our listeners about, something that you learned or
any advice?
Oh, that's such a good question. I would say that we need to be kind to ourselves wherever we're at in this. I think it's so easy for us to talk to ourselves in a really mean, nasty way that we would never talk to anybody else. And it's so easy for us to, you know, just want to try and force our bodies to do what we want it to do. And sometimes we're not very kind to our bodies when we're in that mind frame as well. You know, I think it's just so important to, like, think about how we would speak to a friend going through what we're going through and try our best to speak to ourselves that way.
Absolutely. I think that's what we all need to hear.
You know.
Yeah. I think it's so easy for us to be so kind and heartfelt towards the other ladies that we meet going through it. And it's just so easy for us to be hard on ourselves. Like, I definitely am that way. You know, I'm very much like a type A. My sister likes to say that we have the disease of perfection kind of in my family, you know, that kind of type A OCD, you know, just like we do everything right. And, you know, I really realized, yeah, like, you know, I was doing everything right, and still my mindset was not in a good place. And, you know, that's important too.
Well, you covered it. You covered it all. You said it so well. I'm still handling it all, processing it. But it's definitely true. That's why I like journaling. I think journaling really helps me and gets it through. But yeah.